You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, Dana, I'll ask you first, and then we'll go around the room. Do you have any ritualistic superstitions? Something you do, maybe not every day, but if you're doing something, you do it.
Because of the way my brain is wired, if I do something, it generally has to be in an odd number. I prefer threes and fives to twos and fours. So if I...
Give me an example.
Like, I want to pull this chin hair and I'll do it...
But you only have one of those.
I'll do it three times. But then if I do it four times, I have to do it five to make it odd. And I've been like that since I was like 3 or 4 years old. Hmm. As long as I can remember.
Sam?
My entire life is built up on a foundation of random, weird, quirky routines. Where do you want me to start?
Think about it while I give you a couple of examples, and then we'll go to you, Dan. Jennifer Aniston only steps onto planes with her right foot first.
Okay.
Michael Jordan apparently wore his college shorts under his Chicago Bulls jersey for luck.
Wow.
Cristiano Ronaldo apparently naps five times a day.
Well, you can do that when you're rich.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, Sam. Give me one. And by the way, nothing you say is going to shock me.
I was going to say, I don't really have anything like that. It's just, it comes down to everything that I do. I don't know.
You're weird. Just say it.
I don't really
it.
Pay attention to it because I do everything in such an organized fashion, but I do find that if something happens that it messes with what I perceived as the way it should go, I don't handle that very well.
Oh, that's a control issue.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need to tame that.
Trust me, I work on it every day. Every day. Like, if I have to shower before my breakfast, it's rough. It's a rough day.
Mm. Okay. Dan?
Not really, although I do have something similar to Dana's counting in the threes and fives and the odds and evens. If I'm tapping out a rhythm or something,
yep,
my brain winds up counting it, and I have to make sure it's finished, that I've finished the rhythm.
You finished the rhythm.
Whatever the rhythm is, okay. Or something like that.
Ooh, from the text line, I do share this one. So if we're talking like volume on the radio, it either has to be a one or a five or an even number.
What do you mean, a one or a five?
A zero or a five or an even number. So like 10, 20, or 15, 25. Or if I need a happy medium between 20 and 25, it's got to be 22 or 24.
Okay.
You can't do an odd number.
Not a big fan of the 21s, the 23.
What? Yeah, that's an OCD thing where...
It's got to be even in the middle of the two framing numbers. And I'm kind of similar to that as well.
It's called arithmomania. That's what I have.
Arithromania.
Huh. Arithmomania.
Momania. Okay.
I also leaf blow my driveway most mornings.
While some individuals feel compelled.
Your neighbors are aware.
While some individuals feel compelled to keep things even or divisible by a specific number, others specifically rely on odd numbers to relieve anxiety. For instance, someone might feel a sense of impending doom if they don't lock a door exactly three times, or if a TV volume lands on 24 instead of 23.
Hmm. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Or they check their oven to make sure it's off.
That's called me.
How many times?
A lot.
I'm down to once a day on that. I'm really proud of myself.
There have been times I have made myself late for work. Because I cannot physically, that's not a superstition, that's OCD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think there's a difference.
There is.
But, there have been times, like, I'll call Sam and, like, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember. I said, yeah, it was yesterday. I'm heading out in, like, 5 minutes. And he's like, all right, I'll see you in a little bit. And I stood in front of my oven, or stove, for 5 to 10 minutes, I can't remember how long it was. Literally just off, 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 off.
It's a control thing.
And then I would sit, I know, and I got to tame it. And I would just sit there and stare at it. And I know I'm making myself late for work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, off, 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 off.
just in case it spontaneously turns on.
Right.
Scott, if you or someone you know is struggling with intrusive thoughts or numbers-based rituals,
that's Sam.
Therapies like exposure and response prevention are highly effective, and you can learn more by going to beyondocdexpertperspectives.com.
Okay, but let's keep in mind, we're talking about, now we've moved from superstition to OCD.
You got problems.
And there's a difference.
How do you immerse yourself in numbers?
You just do. Your brain just does it. I want the t-shirt that says, undiagnosed, but something ain't right. Have you seen that?
No.
My mom sent that to me.
We need to get one for everybody on this show.
Undiagnosed, but something ain't right.
Something ain't right.
Can I tell you something else weird? Yeah. Oh, I have so many weird things. I picked up a habit, and I need to ask my dad. I want to say I was around 5, sure, where I would shake my head back and forth like that. Like to the left.
Like a tick?
Like a tick to the left and to the right. Okay, just like, dun-dun, really, dun-dun, like that. And I, as a child, and I was little, like backseat, maybe even in a car seat.
Like 3?
Once I did it, I had to do it 3 or 5 or 7 times. And then I would do it one more, but then that made it even again, and I would have to do it again.
Oh, your poor parents and the conversations they had with each other as they watched.
What is she doing with her head? I remember my dad going, what are you doing? And I go, nothing.
A priest.
Because I thought I was in trouble, right? He's like, I don't know. What are you doing? He's like, why are you bobbing your head like that? And I'm like, I'm not bobbing my head.
But you knew you were.
Then it morphed into, and I think by maybe age 8 or 9, we would be driving by. This is so weird, but I was a kid, so I'm just telling you this. We would be just driving, and I'm in the back seat. I would have to blink my eyes at every other house, all of the odd ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for like, I need to ask my dad. That went on for like a year.
It's almost like a game for
yes,
you.
Mm-hmm. Like a distraction. Yeah. And so then here's what's crazy. Then mm-hmm. I have kids, and 3 of the 4 of them at some point had either a physical or a verbal tick. And of course, with our generation, we're like, I need to get to Children's Mercy right now and see a neurologist. I think it's cancer. What is wrong with my child? And literally, we end up with this like guy because we're like, what are these kids doing? Yeah. And the doctor looked at me and he goes, did you do this as a kid? And I go, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, yeah, it'll go away. It's not big. They don't have Tourette's. It's not that. It's just.
I told you what I do. This was years ago that I told you this. When I'm going down the hill on Shawnee Mission Parkway, mm-hmm. between 435 and Midland, and I do this every night, I can't help myself. Between every streetlight, I will click my teeth 2 times.
Here, now yeah. we're getting somewhere.
You remember uh-huh. I told you this.
I know you've never told
yeah,
me
so,
that.
So when I'm driving down the hill, everybody knows the hill, once you get over 435 on Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Even now, you do this.
I'll do it tonight.
When did it start?
I had lived out in Western Shawnee with Shonda for 9 years and still worked here.
Is it only at that stoplight?
It's the entire hill. So between every street light, I will click my teeth 2 times and I try to do it rhythmically.
Okay. It's your control brain issue.
Trying
to amuse itself and provide some rhythms yeah. and some numbers that will soothe you.
Yeah, so it
feels good to do it.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
I do the same thing on the freeway, like with the stripes or the little mouse bumps in the middle.
Yep.
You know, I'll hit them. If I'm going across and I hit 2, then I got to make sure that I hit 2 on the other tires, you know.
So I'll go down the hill tonight. I guarantee you this. And it's probably between 435 and Midland, maybe a quarter mile, give or take. And I don't know, maybe there's 10 streetlights. And not stoplights, streetlights. And I'll just go.
All right. I want to know from our listeners, what's the weird thing that you do and you don't have to give your real name? Like, if you can beat that, like, that's a little weird, Scott.
I will click my teeth.
I just shared that, like, I did these things when I was, like, 6. And that I think we're getting somewhere that you're still doing these. It's an anxiety indicator.
It's not weird.
I still have my facial tic that I've had forever. And I still, and the text line is keying on this a lot, I don't do it intentionally. And in fact, when I notice I'm doing it, I force myself to stop doing it. But if I am walking on a sidewalk with friends, like say we're walking to the bar or whatever, I am looking straight down at the sidewalk and avoiding every single crack.
And once you do that.
Once I catch myself doing it, I'll like look up and be like, hey, be in the moment, hang out with your friends. And then like 3 minutes later, I'll catch myself staring straight down again.
I'm going to look this up. What is it in our brain that makes us want those things? And it definitely is a self-soothing. I don't think it's boredom. I really don't. I think I was a high strung, high anxiety child, high functioning, but I didn't know what that was. I didn't, and probably until I was in my 40s did I ever look back and go, I was a weird kid.
This is the only way we're getting letters after our names.
Right.
D-U-M.
O-C-D.
It ain't D-R.
No, it ain't.
A-PhD.
Never will be. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Because we are here to educate, have you ever heard of the birthday problem?
No.
It's not a problem like...
feel like my birthday is a problem.
It's not a problem like you think you have a drinking problem. It's like a math problem.
Okay, no.
The birthday problem.
Okay.
And I looked it up. It is true. If you have 23 people in a room, 23.
Okay.
There is a 50% chance that two of them share the same birthday.
No.
Yep. It's called the birthday problem. Look it up.
If you have 23 people, there's 365 days out of the year.
That is correct.
If you have 23 people in one room.
There is a 50% chance that two of them have the same birthday.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't do math. Look it up if you don't believe. Sam, are you looking it up right now?
I'm not, but I can.
Be my witness.
Did you know if you took one penny on Monday?
Okay. We're not doing that again.
You took another penny on Tuesday.
Nope.
At the end of the month, you'd have $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a room with 23 people, there is at least a 50.7% chance that at least two of you share the same birthday. Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as the birthday paradox.
Or problem.
Huh. Okay.
I still feel dumber after listening to this show.
I just tried to educate.
Getting some weird quirks in on the text line. I hold my breath when I drive past a graveyard. I've heard that one's pretty common.
Yeah.
My little brother hits the ceiling when he sees a car with a headlight out.
Slug bug.
When I'm walking on a sidewalk, I adjust my stride so that I take the same amount of steps with each sidewalk square.
Okay. Dan Weinbaum.
Dan is texting that in.
That's a Dan Weinbaum.
Never stepping on the crack that separates. This one's just me personally. I find myself matching people's stride length. For instance,
now that can get pretty weird pretty quick.
It is pretty odd.
If you don't know the person walking next to you.
When I was younger and played sports, even in my adulthood when I play like indoor soccer or something, or even when I coached, if I ever stepped over the sideline,
okay,
whether it's a football field or a soccer field, or it didn't matter, whatever the field was, I would tap my right leg twice.
See, I think
as
you,
I'm walking over the
for
line,
a very long time, have undiagnosed anxiety and OCD, probably your whole life.
I can diagnose it myself.
I'm just saying, probably way further back than you realize.
From the text line, Scott, I have a fix for the stove problem. Mm-hmm. I just turn the breaker off until I'm actively cooking with it.
That's a bit much.
I always sneeze in odd numbers from the text line.
How can you decide how many times you sneeze?
I feel like at that point you're just making it up.
Dana had one in here a minute ago.
Oh,
I thought her nose was about to come off.
Let me tell you this, Sam. I've had a head cold for 3 nights. I don't know if it's allergies, this post-nasal drip stuff. When I go to bed, it gets worse. It's
gross.
Really, really bad in the morning, and then I'm fine throughout the day, but then you can tell my voice is getting deeper as the show goes on. And I started using the, what do you call that? The nose spray.
Nasal
oh,
spray.
So you're now addicted to a drug.
Okay, no. I
you,
do
you
one
can get
in the
addicted to that.
Okay, that's what we were talking about during a break, yeah. Sam. I do one in the morning, and I don't even get it all the way up there.
That's how it starts.
I don't like it all the way up there. Mm. I just and then I do one at
one?
Night before
yes.
I go to bed.
Thank you.
And that's it. So I've done it 8 times total.
Yeah.
4 days, once in the morning, once at night.
But you go 8 times, but you don't go all the way up there.
No.
Yeah.
I'm no.
So you
no.
don't shove it all the way in?
No, I do not.
Reel it in.
It goes.
Reel
I'm
it
gonna
in.
Say this, it. Have you ever done it where it go it? Your
goes
nose
down, like,
is connected to the back of your throat,
yeah.
And if you stick that thing all the way up, it goes back down there, and it tastes like lavender. They've added some.
I had not heard that
coloring.
Before.
No, they've added a. It's scented, and I said last night, get me a Diet Pepsi. I hate that taste. Anyway, it's day 4. I'm not going to be addicted.
We
I think you can
about.
Use it for 6 days in a row, but not anything after that.
I don't either.
What's it called? Afrin? Nasal spray.
I don't know.
Addiction.
You're going to get addicted, though? Yeah, Afrin.
So you do it in the morning.
Go to break, you weirdo.
From the text line, I was addicted to that stuff for 2 years. Dana, be careful.
Afrin contains oxymetazoline, an ingredient that causes temporary nasal blood to shut up. Why does it smell like that?
I heard is I do it in the morning and I do it at night. And I shove it in there, but not all the way.
Stop. We don't need a recap. From the text line, I tap the airplane twice before I step on it for my flight.
When somebody said they only use their right foot to get on an airplane, was that Jennifer
that
Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston, yep.
Does anyone else, like, are you so careful to step over the crack between
yes.
the end of the, okay, where the airplane starts.
The jetway.
And the jetway, mm-hmm. there's always like a 3-inch crack that like, if you yep. dropped an iPhone without a...
It gone.
And I look at that thing and I'm like, has any really tiny person ever just fallen through that hole? I'm serious. God, it scares me to death.
So that, we're all weird.
That would have to be a really tiny person to fall through a 3-inch crack.
Wow.
We're all weird.
Okay. You got some of that, right?
What weird things do you do? 913-586-7798.
Travis Kelce has bought himself a stake in the Cleveland Guardians.
They add an additive that smells like carnations. I just found it. I knew it. I can't smell, but if I could, it's carnations. Go ahead.
So if it's a nasal spray that you're using to clear up your nostril.
Yes.
Why would they need to add a smell to it?
I don't know.
You're putting that stuff up your nose to smell.
I don't know, Scott. I just know that, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Kelce, baseball, what did he buy? Something in Cincy?
He bought a stake in the Cleveland Indians.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, time to go to break.
Just go to break.
Well, hang on. Let me do this real quick and then grab the phones. Check out our bonus hour tonight.
Oh. Yes.
It is.
So good.
If I dare say, and I don't normally think we do a particularly good job on this show, but I thought that the 3 o'clock hour today was horribly interesting and probably because the two of us don't talk very much. And we had an expert in with the Berlin Wall exhibit that is coming to Union Station later this week. It opens later this
Friday.
Week and will run for a number of months. And it was a fascinating interview about the history of the Berlin Wall. Sadly, the people that were killed trying to get over the Berlin Wall who would pole vault or use hot air balloons to get over the Berlin Wall. It was a fascinating interview. We would encourage you to take a listen. It comes up right after the top of the hour news. Hey, if you missed a segment, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast as well. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
He had surgery because he was addicted to Afrin, the nose spray. Yeah. Look, I got addicted to Afrin as well. I would honestly tell you, if you don't know what it is, I would tell you not to get involved. It's one of the best things I've ever been part of. When I was on it, too, my wife was furious. I had to try to hide it from her. She could hear it from 3 blocks away, just one little puff. What's that? I ain't gonna live like this. I ain't worked this hard not to do Afrin in my own home. So my dad, they go to the doctor, him and my mom. And the doctor was like, do you use Afrin? And my dad goes, no. And the doctor was like, I can tell that you use it. I was just saying that. So he goes, how long have you used it? And my dad said 5 years, which is a lie. And my mom is like, she's like, well, tell the truth. You know, she goes, he's used it for 45 years. He used Afrin 45 years. Just for reference, if you don't know, the back of the box suggests no more than 3 days.
That's true. You are on day 4 of your Afrin. We have to kick that habit to the curb tonight.
Today,
Dana,
would be day 4. I forgot this morning.
Good.
But I've literally been sitting here thinking, oh, I cannot wait to get home.
To your Afrin?
To have a glass of wine and an Afrin.
Already addicted, huh?
It does make me feel better.
From the text line, as a pharmacist, Afrin should only be used for a maximum of 3 days. After the 72-hour mark, it causes rebound congestion.
Can you imagine if you took anything else that literally just exacerbates the exact problem you're trying to fix right after you're trying to fix it?
Like, it's called alcohol.
They need to make that way bigger on the box.
Nicotine patches?
Yeah.
Shut up, Sam. Brandy in Kansas City. Hello, Brandy.
Hi.
Hi.
So, long-time listener.
Hey, Brandy, real quick, do you have your radio on by any chance?
It's off now.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry. So, I was just listening to the show, listening to you guys. So, I have been diagnosed a long time with OCD and anxiety. So a lot of the stuff that you guys were talking about, I can relate to as of not stepping on cracks on the sidewalk, the holding your breath through after going through a graveyard. And I literally do everything in threes.
Everything in threes.
I do, unfortunately.
Give me an example.
So every night before I go to bed, I check the door to make sure it's locked, and I have to check it 3 times.
Been there.
Same like stove, anything like that. I have to check it, make sure, because if I don't, I literally can't go to bed. Like it just keeps me up. It's gotten a little bit better as I've gotten older, but it used to be, you know, where I'd walk into a room to turn the light on. I'd have to do it 3 times.
Hold on. Stop.
One, two, three.
So when you walk into a room, you turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually very overwhelming and stressful. I was diagnosed when I was 15. I actually take medicine for it. Like I said, it's gotten better, but I still have my moments. I'm a very, very much overthinker, worry. Yeah, it's kind of like listening to you guys. I don't necessarily like have tics like you guys were talking about, but a lot of the other stuff, you know, I remember a thing back in the day where if you went over the railroad tracks, you like lifted your feet up or hit the ceiling of the car. So I kind of can relate to you guys. So,
Brandy, do you remember like way back when you were little? At what age?
Okay, so it's funny. It started when I was really little, and it wasn't really a thing yet. My parents didn't really know what was going on. But back then it was worse before I got diagnosed and medicated and stuff, where, I was very much afraid of like germs or, constantly washing my hands. if I touch something or a chemical, like, is this okay? Do I need to wash my hands? Is it going to make me sick? Am I going to die? Like, it was horrible. Like, it was, and like, my parents didn't know, siblings made fun of me. Like, you know, it's not a fun thing to live with. And like I said, I still have my moments today. So I work at a daycare. So I literally put gloves on. Well, of course we put gloves on for diapering, things like that. But like cleaning or cleaning their noses, or when they put their shoes and jackets on, when I'm getting cots out, I put gloves on. If not, I feel like I have to wash my hands afterwards.
Yeah. And that's common. Brady, I'm glad you got diagnosed and got medication. And I just wish when we were all 5 or 6, someone had taken that child and said, you are completely fine. Everyone does weird things.
I got addicted to Carmex when I was a freshman at the University of Nebraska.
You are not the only one I've heard that from.
It's actually designed to make your lips more chapped.
I've also heard that. Is that an old wives' tale?
No, it literally has to do with the chemical makeup of popular chapsticks. Mm-hmm. While it does improve in the moment, it dries them out in the long run.
Yep.
Your better bet is to hydrate.
And I remember it was the spring of my freshman year at UNL, and I realized I cannot stop buying Carmex. And it was like $1.98 back then, remember? And,
yeah.
Because it was right there on the yellow lid. And
did it have twang?
It did have a little bit of twang, yeah, with the yellow lid. It's like Duke's mayonnaise. By the way, I'm such a dork. I was making a home. We had cooked burgers over Memorial Day, and I brought a burger to work today for lunch, and leftovers. And I'm heating the burger up in the microwave, and I get out the mayonnaise and the ketchup.
Yeah.
To put on the bun, obviously. And I thought of both of you as I reach into the fridge and I go, Duke's mayonnaise!
It's got a yellow lid.
I swear to God.
I do the same thing.
Do you really?
We re-upped the Duke's this morning. Heck yeah.
I love Duke's mayonnaise, and I'm not even ashamed to say it. I'm just going to admit it.
Duke's.
And tell you, like, I don't eat it raw with a spoon, but I would.
Oh, gross. That would be gross.
Do you know our grandparents used to use mayonnaise?
Why is it considered a salad dressing and not a condiment? Salad,
that's why. My grandma used to take mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip, mayonnaise. Okay. She would add sugar. She would whip it up.
This is healthy.
She would whip it up. Yeah. So now you've got the fat and the sugar, and they would put it on salad. And I don't know back then if it was cheaper because maybe.
And that was the salad dressing?
That was the salad dressing.
Like,
and that's why mayonnaise is called salad dressing. I'm telling you, all of our grandmas did it.
Well, no.
It's a farm thing.
Mayonnaise is mayonnaise. Miracle Whip is salad dressing.
I remember my grandmother using them interchangeably as salad dressing.
As a dip slinger, we take this argument very seriously.
You sling the
back
dip.
Back away!
We use real mayonnaise. And only real mayonnaise, because who wants salad dressing in their dip?
Huh. Okay. I've always found it weird that, because I do like mayonnaise, and when I have to go find it at the store, I have to go down the salad dressing aisle and not the condiments aisle. And I've always found that weird.
I mean, it does make sense. It's a fat and an oil. Those are the same thing.
It's literally egg whites and
fat.
Oil. Yeah.
913-586-7. It is good. 586-7798.
Twang.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Fox News. For years, researchers have believed that prolonged sitting could raise dementia risk, but new findings suggest what you do while you're sitting may matter more than previously thought. the research, which was published in the journal Preventive Medicine.
Gripping.
It is gripping.
Found what do you mean what you're doing while you're sitting? Am I supposed to do calisthenics?
Hang on. Found that replacing mentally passive sedentary behavior with mentally active sedentary behavior was associated with a significant reduction in dementia.
You can be sedentary as long as your mind is thinking.
Yeah, like reading or, I don't know, does doom scrolling count?
You're still just sitting.
I mean, it's all about exercising the brain, right? And so doom scrolling, I guess it depends on what your algorithm is built on.
Not really exercising your brain.
I don't know. My algorithm's pretty good. I got hippos pooping falling. On. I do, and I watch hippos pooping on lions, and I got a pretty good algorithm. I'm not embarrassed by it at all. The head of the country's largest teachers union is calling for limits on technology in schools in a speech this week, today, in fact, including blocking most students from using computers in class until they reach at least the third grade.
How far we have come.
Until they reach the third grade, prohibiting student-facing AI in elementary schools and banning chatbots until the age of 16. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, declared that students, quote, are drowning in tech.
Yeah.
Drowning in tech. Students need teachers, real human beings, not robots and not chatbots. Weingarten's comments signal that she is a prominent new ally to a fast-growing grassroots movement of parents pushing to scale back screen time in public school. The
Can I
effort,
ask you a question?
You guys
do
you
think
you want.
Me sitting here listening to you for 4 hours a day is a sedentary brain?
Yes.
Or a not sedentary brain?
Very sedentary.
It depends. Are you paying attention or not?
No.
That's why I said sedentary. I think the bonus hour is going to be very active brain, because that was a great interview.
It was a good
interview. But I can't get the last 30 seconds of my life back. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
I'm kidding.
No, I love they're making that change. We need to protect the influx of information. My brain is so scrambled every single day by all the information I take in. I can't imagine what it would do if I were
If you really want your kids to put down their phones, put them in swim. Put them in competitive swim. You can't have a phone in the swimming pool.
Put them in any sport. Can't run down the soccer field with a cell phone in your hand.
Easier to do in soccer than it is in swim.
No, it's not.
There you have it, parents. Force your kids to do sports, whether they want to or not.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, there are ways that you can get around tech. Swim.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever got into a pool.
Oh, I was terrified.
Oh, my God.
I hated it.
My mom signed me up with this lady. We were in Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood.
Did she throw you in?
And this was this older woman. She also was my guitar teacher and my piano teacher.
No one is that gifted.
And she had an in-house pool. It was covered, obviously, in-house. And
in her house?
Yes. She must have had a lot of money. I just didn't know it. And I remember standing by the side of the pool. And, I would have been five or six. And she goes, Scott, it's time to get... She was an older woman.
Oh, no.
And by older...
We're going to bring this back tomorrow. I have never had terror like I had terror when they waited too long to put me in swim. And that woman at the YMCA who did have a mustache, I'm not being mean, I'm just saying she did, threw me in the pool.
Yep. And so we're standing by the side of the pool. And when I say older, remember back then, people in their 50s looked older than 50?
1,000%.
Like I see pictures of my grandparents.
Look like grandmas.
And with the white bobbed hair and everything. And my grandma was like 58 years old. And she looked like she was 90.
I used to feign illness to try to get out of swim lessons.
This woman came over to me and said, Scott, it's time to get in the pool. And I said, I can't. And she put her hand on my back and pushed me right in.
It's funny now, but it is horrible way to learn. I know it.
To this day. I hate that woman.
How do I remember my teacher had a mustache, Scott?
Because you hate her. We got to run. Beg your pardon?
Never mind.
We're not sure it was a her.
You need to learn how to swim. You need to wax.
We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Hey, don't forget, Dr. Rick joins us on Friday at 3:15.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.